Welcome to this anniversary edition. On the 6th of April 2022, I launched my first episode called Mindfuckery. I didn't know where this was going to go, so we're now going into the third year. It is my favourite part of the week, recording this. I never know what I'm going to talk about. I never know where it's going to go. So I did a little tiny bit of research for this one. On the 6th of April, this was actually supposed to launch on the 5th of April 2022, but I had recorded it and hadn't quite edited it enough, and it was like the first one, and I was out for the day because the 5th of April was actually my birthday, and I was out all day, and by the time I got back in it was really late, so I then had to make that decision. It's okay, let's do this on the 6th. So the 6th of April is the anniversary. I thought I'd slip this one in on Saturday because it's too far away from a Tuesday when I try to post, and it's too far away from the other Tuesday. So I thought, let's slip in a cheeky little anniversary podcast for you. So, as I said, I did a little bit of research of what, over the last 6 months, the most popular podcasts, and they are about the difference between, I think it is the difference between physical and emotional abuse, coercive control. I also did a healing at Christmas. That seems to be really popular. And another one is divorcing and the narcissist and healing from abuse, loss of identity. And I did another podcast on the what's worse, physical, emotional abuse. There was one on living in your very own Alice in Wonderland experience and what's wrong with me, which is something that I kept asking and moving forward for 2024. So those over the last 6 months, which obviously some of them have only been 4 months or not even 4 months old. And obviously when I look back and look at the listening of some of them, the earlier ones like Mindfuckery are really, really popular. One of my favourite subjects, and not because it's a nice subject, but I just so passionate about people understanding and understanding what coercive control is. And I think it was during my podcast on Tuesday that I said, when I started healing, there were four elements. When I started my journey, people were talking about how you'd been abused emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. But for me, the experience that I'd had, and not just one experience, a couple, few actually, I realised that financial was one of them because it's something I'd experienced multiple times, financial coercive control. And I tried to look it up and I couldn't find it anywhere, but I have noticed people are talking about it. The other one that I put in is sexual coercive control. One of my most popular videos on YouTube is about that subject. I think I've recorded a few. I think there's three of them on YouTube about that. And I was actually talking to someone at a book launch last night. I was talking to somebody I know there. She came to my book launch in November for Divorce Matters. And I was explaining coercive control and I was explaining wounds and emotional wounding. And I said to her, the easiest way to understand it is to look at what's going on in society at the moment with young people, predominantly girls, but we don't know that. Women talk more than men do. So at the moment, it's predominantly girls that are speaking out about how they ended up taking a photo of themselves. And it's what we would maybe class as peer pressure, but that's coercive control, being coerced into a situation because you feel maybe that there's something wrong with you. And that's what you're told. Other people are doing this. It's downplayed. So a young girl might have taken an intimate picture of herself and sent it to someone. That person has then spread that round. And I was explaining how I work, and she asked me what a session would look like. And I was explaining to her how I work. And because of one of our core wounds of shame, the way I help people process things is in a very intimate way, and they are doing this with themselves. And these techniques and tools that I use and help people heal, they can do themselves. I know it's difficult because I've been in that position where I need somebody to hold space for me and talk and guide me through a scenario that I'm experiencing. There's a big movement all over the world, and in the UK it's actually law. Coercive control is isolating someone from friends and family, depriving someone from their basic needs, such as food, monitoring their time, monitoring their communication, taking control over everyday aspects of their life, where they can go, who they can see, what they can do, where, what they can wear, even perhaps when they can sleep. Depriving a person of access to support services, repeatedly putting them down, saying that they're worthless, humiliating, degrading, dehumanizing, controlling finances, making threats and intimidation. And financial control is such an easy way of controlling someone. If they haven't got money to do anything, they literally can't leave. So I added in that sexual coercive control. I was completely aware of that manipulation because I'd experienced it. I was so vanilla. I was compared to other people. I was told positions that other people liked without getting into too much detail. I made to feel that there was something wrong with me. Actually, when you strip these things back, this is manipulation 101. This is mind fuckery. And that's why that I wanted to use the name, because it's coercion, it's cognitive dissonance, it's triangulation, it's everything. So gaslighting, favorite number one tool, triangulation, favorite number two tool. When I talk about divorcing, I'm not just talking about the physical divorce, I'm talking about the emotional divorce. Divorcing emotionally from the abuser is life-changing. And I've spoken about this so many times, and I've analyzed it. Everything I've done, everything I've talked about, I've experienced it. I haven't had to go and research it, and I talk about it from how it feels in the body. Not a pleasant thing to come out of, but it is fulfilling. Although there are elements, I did feel that I had to mourn the loss of who I was and the person that I was before I met my ex. And that was quite sad, knowing that I'll never be that person again, because I quite liked her. And having to get to know, it's like having another relationship with yourself, a different one. I'm not saying it's right or wrong either way, but this one seems a bit more powerful. It's like taking on a new role, although it's me. And I think the deeper I go down, the more I discover of myself and who I really am, and allow myself, I think maybe this is an age thing as well, allow myself to be the person that I truly am deep down, that I've hidden. I was also talking to somebody else last night about how we hide away, and we were talking about assertiveness, and this person had been involved in a situation and found it difficult to stand up and say what she truly wanted to say. And so we were talking about that, and I was saying it probably wasn't safe growing up. And we also spoke about the separation, or maybe even disassociation. This is what I experienced. I used to run a call center. I had a lot of people under me. I went in client meetings. I worked with all sorts of different levels of management, and I was assertive in that area of my life. I had young children. I was running a home, but I wasn't assertive in that area of my life. And so the discussion last night was around whether it was safe to be assertive in your personal life. And that might be your experience as well. I've been working with wounds for like 20 something, longer than that, but I can pinpoint it to 22 years ago, the emotional wounds that we hold within our body. And I was working at that time with past life wounds, then went on around about 2013. I started working with ancestral wounding, and then following the breakdown of my second marriage and experiencing this excruciating pain, I started working, concentrating more on this life wounding. So a lot of the work I do actually encompasses all areas, because with ancestral, it's the wounds that have come through. It's the stories that have come through our family line. The wounding, the things that we witness, if we witness bad relationships, if we witness abusive relationships, it can go one of two ways. We either are teaching our children to be abusive, or we're teaching our children that it's okay to be abused. My passion comes from helping people and releasing them from the chains that keep them trapped in these relationships, and showing them that they are so powerful, pointing them in the direction and saying, look, can you see that light at the end of that tunnel? You're heading towards that. You're in the right direction. No judgment whatsoever, because I know what I experienced. I know I went back to relationships more times than I should have. I gave people more chances than I should have. I would have, in certain situations, gone back again through fear of not knowing what was going to happen next, through being trapped by my mind, which I've spoken about and started to talk about a little bit more. And that was a result of something that came to me really recently. It was like, oh my gosh, it's like I've had my eyes opened again to another layer. Another layer of healing has happened. Or my body is so intuitive that it's telling me, and I didn't realize at the time, it was actually trying to tell me what was going on. So what happened was I was sat in Greece when my life was imploding. Looking back, I feel that I was coerced into this situation. I was self-employed and I'd set this company up. It was actually really quite successful. I work most weekends, so I meet this new person, and over a period of time, it doesn't affect the first part of our relationship. Towards the wedding, I was getting phone calls on a Saturday. What time are you home? I'd already left the house saying, I'm going to be back at 5. The last party is at whatever. Or I was getting them on a Sunday. And so I felt, well, this is impacting and is going to impact this relationship. So I actually wound the company down. I'd been working for my husband in his company, not only supporting him and going out unpaid, but doing some work for him. And that started to be taken away towards the end of the relationship as it was crumbling. And the financial pressure was that he was suggesting that I went and found another job. And I ended up doing that. I ended up having all of my savings gone, and I had supported him quite a few times financially. I was trying to build up a coaching business. I'd retrained as a spiritual life coach. And that's what I was trying to build up. I was teaching Reiki. I was being pulled in every direction. Financially, I was running out of money. I had run out of money. He had issues with cars, and then something else had happened. And each time I dipped into savings until one day I had no money and I was left in this job. And I was sat on this beach in Greece knowing my whole life was about to implode. I was desperately trying to hang on, knowing it was a really bad relationship. So there is no judgment. There were times when, after he left, that I would have done anything to have him back, and everything against my morals, and I would have handed over my soul basically. Because I was so fearful of what my life was going to look like. My self-esteem was on the floor. I was a complete and utter mess. This is what's happened. So I've written this story, and I was, at the time I was writing it, I was thinking it was really odd this story's come to me, because I thought I'd healed this. And I actually wrote in the book, I thought I'd healed this, but it's come back for healing. It had come back, but it was a different type of healing. It was repeating patterns. What I realized only a few months ago, following another event where I had a similar experience, this story kept coming up, and I was thinking, it's really weird. Why am I thinking about this person? I haven't seen them for 40 years. This whole situation, it keeps coming up, and then something more or less exactly happens. So it's like my body is picking up that something's going on. That's when I realized that finding Lily and what happened to me and what I was writing about was actually telling me what was going on in my life at the time. And as I do periodically, I look back and say, wow, this is how far I've come. But I also am aware of the statements that kept me trapped, and I have been aware of them for a very long time because I've written about them. Early on, I recorded videos on them on YouTube, and I've spoken about them a lot in the books that I've written. I was told, we're meant to be together, we're soulmates, you're the only person that understood me. And like earworms went into my mind, and I then couldn't understand. And like that child that's not in a safe environment, that's exactly what I felt like. I was wondering, what is wrong with me? Why aren't I good enough? Why has this new person got a different version? What have they done? I had this person in my life. He told me how amazing he was. He told me how amazing he was and how amazing we were together, and then went to destroy me. And I probably helped him. And that is me taking responsibility for the role that I played in that relationship. Because, as again, I've said this right the way from the start of my YouTube channel back in 2017, 2018. I take responsibility for the role that I played. I should have walked away, and I didn't. I got caught. I now believe that deep healing and that journey that I've been on was for a reason. And in fact, right from the beginning, and I'll go even further than that. As we were separating, I actually thanked him for breaking me open and allowing the light to come in, because that is how I felt about the whole situation. It took me down into really dark places. I'm not gonna lie, really dark and painful places The loneliness was horrific. The questioning, believing that there was something wrong with me, what had I done wrong, all of these things. And then I was able to track them back even further into childhood, where I'd experienced something very similar, where I was the scapegoat in certain situations. It was always going to be my fault. And I was told that I was the eldest child and I should know better. So mindfuckery is the name of the game. But is it the start of a journey? Some people are looking for answers. Some people need to understand what's going on. I can tell you now, with the mindfuckery, this isn't your fault. None of it is your fault. But this is the time to claim back and take back your power and be the queen of your life or the king of your life. The reason I say queen is when I use the chessboard analogy, which I love using, the queen is the most powerful piece on the board, and it's stepping into that power and it's claiming back all the pieces. Following my training as a spiritual life coach, I also at the same time became a theta healer and a soul plan practitioner, and also did a lot of soul retrieval work. I trained in soul transformation. I realized that we break away at a certain age. So if something traumatic happens to us, part of us, our psyche, steps out for a moment. It's part of a self-preservation. So it's keeping us whole in that time, in that moment. It's protecting who we are as a whole. And if you live in an unsafe environment, this could happen multiple times a week. It could happen multiple times a day. So going back to this conversation I had last night with one of the girls that I was talking to, and she was asking me how I work. And this is how I've developed my work. I work with the emotion that's going on at the moment. There's, depending on what we're doing, but let's just pick the original wound work. Working on what's going on at the moment and the emotions held in the body. We then, from that emotion, track down the trauma and what the trauma represents, and we from there find all of the other times that people have experienced that emotion held in the body. It's a feeling and an emotion held in the body, and that's what I work with. And we go back until the very first time that a person has experienced that. I like to work really quickly. I like to work one or two or three sessions with people. I'm not going to ask the questions and get you to relay the story because it's not helpful. Who needs to relive that? It's the emotion held in the body, what's going on, what age, and then we work with the healing, and there's a healing journey that takes place. What I also guide people to do is, as an adult now, to talk to that child. And this all takes place in the privacy of your own mind. And this is helping with these wounds, particularly the wound of shame. And it's so safe. And then we're bringing back all of these missing parts. And people, well, they've literally changed before my eyes, but they feel whole again. Some have never felt that because they lived in such an unsafe environment. They don't even know really who they are because they had to protect themselves. It was unsafe to show that side of them. And you might experience that. As we move into year three of the podcast, I might start next Tuesday recovering some of the A to Zs and laying the groundwork again. The focus is always on healing. The focus is always on there's a way out. It's not about facing the dark demons inside. It's not about having to come face to face with it. It's about acknowledging that it's there, acknowledging that it happened and saying, I want to claim back my power. I'm never going to let this happen to me again. I want to be the person that I was born to be. I want to live the life that I was born to live. And we're here to change and break the patterns of the past, our family lines and our ancestral wounding. And we're doing it not just for ourselves, but our children and our children's children. Because these energetic connections and this energetic healing, it goes backwards and heals our ancestral wounding on our ancestral lines. But it also goes forwards to heal that as well. That might not be for you, and you might say, no, I just want to know what's going on. I just want to get out of this. I want to be out of pain. And that's cool. I can help you do that as well. Staying in your body is the most important thing that you can do. Your head has been tricked, and your mind will go off and find the information to prove that the abuser was right. So stick with us. We're going to keep going with this. If you want to go deeper, we can go deeper. And we can heal on a really deep level. If you just want to get out of this mess, if you just want to get rid of the pain. Stay here as well, because I can talk you through that. Well, I mean, this is so exciting. I can't believe we're moving into year three. So I will see you on Tuesday. And as always, I'm sending you loads and loads of love.